One day to the Republic Bank Joy News Habitat Fair first mini clinic happening at the Achimota Retail Center from Friday. Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to the Midday News. The news is live on Joy 99.7 FM and Hits 103.9 FM here in Accra, on Love 99.5 FM in Kumasi, and streaming worldwide at myjoyonline.com, X Spaces, and YouTube. We're also live in all 16 regions of Ghana via partner stations, including Radio Justice Tamale, Lolonyo FM Hohoi, Ngilki FM Bole, Castle FM Cape Coast, Oil City Radio Takrade, Ganga FM Jirapa, and Radio Freed in Nandom. Coming up this afternoon, Deputy Attorney General clashes with Frank Davis in the Supreme Court as both lawyers make fierce legal arguments in Kojo Oponkoma's case challenging the constitutionality of criminal trials during legal vacation.
The Chief Justice heads an independent organ. They are supposed to be independent organs of the state. So where there is a conflation of the duties of the Attorney General's office and that of the Chief Justice, is that not a conflict?
We are live at the Supreme Court for details. Also, Ghana Grid Company racing against time to fully restore power following this dawn nationwide blackouts that left major parts of the country in darkness. We are live across the regions to assess the situation. Plus, here from the Institute of Energy Security, IES, call for full investigation and disclosure of the cost of two separate national blackouts in 3 weeks. In the Shanti region, several persons seriously injured after a fully loaded trotro crashes into a police vehicle carrying suspects on KNUST campus.
The police vehicle was traveling at a high speed with its siren on when it entered the intersection while the traffic lights had turned green for the trotro, resulting in a collision.
Also, contractor working on the Dodowa Efienya Dowena Road assures that one lane will be completed and open to traffic by the end of the year to reduce the burden on commuters.
Yeah, we'll be doing by December.
We have details from the Minister of Roads and Highways tour of some big push projects in sports.
Sports Minister Kofi Adams questions Ghana Premier League publicity over player exodus with 2 weeks to the new season.
Also coming up, the Republic Bank Joy News Habitat Fair starts tomorrow with a lineup of deals that could bring you closer to becoming a homeowner.
Joy News Habitat Fair 2026, where you have everything housing being displayed. We have over 22 exhibits. In fact, that is what the space constraint will allow us to take. We will be there to offer you everything from.
And the NSMQ is back. We are live in UCC Cape Coast as the first contest between Accra Girls, Asamankese SHS, and Sandima gets underway.
We're going to go there and make it. Nobody is big, nobody is small. Just going to play our game.
Uvenu and Adesu Presby Senior High School. You should prepare because you are coming with fire.
These and more with me, Gemma Appiah. This is Joy News, independent, fearless, and credible journalism. This afternoon, it has been a clash of fierce opposing legal arguments at the Supreme Court in a case challenging the constitutionality of the Chief Justice's warrants, allowing some judges to sit and conduct trials during the legal vacation. NPP MP for Ofwasi Ayurebi, Kojo Oponkoma, who filed the action, wants the trials stopped and the Chief Justice's warrants declared unlawful. The suit names the Chief Justice and the Attorney General as defendants. Kweku Asante of our Legal Affairs Desk was in court for us and joins us with details. Kweku, let's start with the judges sitting on this case. Who constituted the panel?
Well, Gemma Pia, it was Justice Court Foreman, the second most senior justice on the Supreme Court that sat as the presiding member and actually the only judge that sat on this matter. It is not unusual. The Constitution allows for a single justice to sit, but usually cases at the Supreme Court are constituted by a panel of 3, 5 judges or 7 judges or 9 judges, as the case may be. But today, Justice Gabriel Scott Poorman presided over the hearing of this injunction application and was the sole judge in this matter. Now, let's get into the arguments that were made by both parties. We first heard from lawyer for Kojo Ponkuma, Mr. Frank Davis, who submitted that legal vacation, as far as the practice is concerned, is reserved for motions and urgent matters of that nature. He made references to the what he called the practice of the courts, that if at any point in time a trial would have to be conducted during the legal vacation, it is with the consent of the lawyers involved. And that as far as he's concerned, if you look at the administrative directive that the Chief Justice has made to some judges to be able to preside on trials, criminal trials, full-blown criminal trials during a legal vacation, is completely unconstitutional in their view, and went on to submit for that reason. In a substantive case, he believes that the Chief Justice's action have been unconstitutional, and so this injunction application should succeed if not irreparable damage will be caused to the applicant, in this case, Kojo Ponkuma. And then we heard from Dr. Justice Swemsai, the Deputy Attorney General, who submitted that as far as he's concerned, the authorities are well settled on the factors that ought to be considered before a court will grant an injunction. And that the factors are threefold in his view: whether a serious question exists on a substantive matter, he did not see that any serious question existed, whether irreparable damage will be caused to the applicant, which is Kojo Ponkuma, and he does not believe that Kojo Ponkuma, not being one of those being tried in the courts, any irreparable damage will be caused to him, as well as the balance of convenience will favor him. And so he also made the in his view, that application for injunction ought not be granted. And so Justice Gabriel Poaman, having heard the fierce counter arguments having been made by Frank Davis and Justice Swemsai, adjourned the matter to tomorrow, Friday, at 10 o'clock a.m., to deliver a ruling on this application for injunction.
Kwaku, the Chief Justice was listed as the defendant. Was he present or represented in court, and was there any controversy over that?
Yes, the Chief Justice was represented by a member of the legal directorate of the Judicial Service, but the Chief Justice did not have a separate lawyer. In fact, when Justice Tsai announced his appearance, he announced as both representing the Attorney General and the Chief Justice as a nominal defendant in this matter. And as far as he's concerned, the law allowed him to do so. Frank Davis, counsel for Kojo Ponkuma, raised a preliminary legal objection, and he submitted that the Attorney General's department in this case should not be allowed to represent the Chief Justice, and went on to contend that the Chief Justice must be represented by independent counsel. He cited a number of cases and said that the because of separation of powers, the Attorney the Chief Justice, the Deputy Attorney General, disagreed fiercely and submitted that it is only when there exists a conflict between the Attorney General and the Chief Justice or any other constitutional body that comes before the Supreme Court that the legal representation must be separated. And so that preliminary legal objection was dismissed as it was raised by Frank Davis. When the court closed, we asked the question of Mr. Frank Davis, what he made of that decision to overrule his objection. Here's what he had to say.
Whenever you make a point, a legal point in court, it is up to the judge to agree or disagree with you. So if he has decided that that position did not sit well with him, well, that is his ruling. But we are still convinced that the Attorney General, in the special circumstances of this case, should not be the one to be representing the Chief Justice, because the authorities I quoted clearly were to the effect that where the Chief Justice is named substantively as a defendant in a matter, the Chief Justice should have lawyers of his own choice, you know, not the Attorney General's office. Because if a member of the executive, the Attorney General is a branch of the executive, if a member of the executive sues the Chief Justice, would Attorney General be representing the Chief Justice? What then do we do about separation of powers? The Chief Justice heads an independent organ of the state, the judiciary. We have the judiciary, the legislature, and the executive. They are supposed to be independent organs of the state. So where there is a conflation of the duties of the Attorney General's office and that of the Chief Justice, is that not a conflict?
You had Frank Davis, who is lawyer for Kojo Ponkoma in that case, ending that report by my colleague Kweku Asante. Now, the Ghana Grid Company is racing against time to fully restore power to consumers as parts of the country is without electricity. This follows a national blackout this dawn, resulting from a major challenge on the Akosombo Volta transmission line. The Grid Co has issued a statement on this as it says power has been restored to some parts of the country. And my colleague James Avigi joins me in studio with details of this. James, what did GridCo say that resulted in this blackout?
Well, Gemma, GridCo in a statement early this morning said that approximately 4:30 a.m., the national power system experienced a major fault on the Akosombo Volta transmission line, and the fault resulted in the automatic tripping of the Akosombo generating unit and some thermal generating plant as part of the system's protection mechanism to safeguard the integrity and stability of the national interconnected transmission system. This subsequently resulted in the loss of power supply to some parts of the country. Immediately following the incident, GridCo engineers, according to the company, are working in close coordination with other power sector agencies, took steps to isolate the affected transmission line and commence safe and systematic restoration of the power.
GridCo also says the power has been restored partially.
Yes, they said power supply has already been restored in some affected areas and restoration efforts are still in progress to ensure that all parts that have been affected are covered. It ended by saying that the GridCo regrets the inconvenience this created to consumers as he assures to provide timely update on the situation.
Well, let's start base with our correspondents in other regions. Peter Senu is reporting from the Oti region. Peter, what's the situation in the Oti region?
Right, Gemma, interestingly, power has been restored some 10 minutes ago. Just as I was preparing to join this conversation.
Consumers.
But hither to this, the National Grid, as it took some 2 weeks ago, the region was put on some form of load management, and that has been it till this day. But interestingly, even when we are supposed to be off sometimes, or to be on, sometimes the light goes off intermittently. So you don't even know really what is happening with regard to power supply to the region. And to wake up this morning to realize that the light had gone off again. But currently...
Peter, thank you so much for your report. Let's speak to Nanaya Ujima from the Ashanti region. Nanaya Ujima, do you have lights in the Ashanti region?
About 11 a.m., Ashanti's electricity was restored.
Do I have Nanaya Ujima on the line?
Yes,
let's move to Rafiq Salam from the Upper West region. Rafiq, what's the situation in the region? Nanaya, kindly unmute for me.
Dema, I don't know if you can hear me now. Hello, Dema.
Nanaya Ujima, kindly go ahead for me.
So the Kumasi Metropolis this morning woke up without electricity. Our checks indicate that the lights were taken at 4 a.m. and most parts of the city were restored around 11 a.m. Most businesses within the Ashanti region that are heavily reliant on electricity commenced late for this reason. But as we speak now, most parts of the Ashanti region are now with light.
Thank you very much, Nanaya Ujima. Let's try one more time to get Rafiq Salam on the line. Rafiq, do I have you?
Okay, I can report to you that in the Upper West region, to be precise, in the one municipality, we are still having the power brownout. We are still without light. And I speak to you, I'm currently at the Upper West Regional Coordinating Council, where workers are virtual on a holiday because there's no light and they are not working.
Thank you very much, Rafiq Salam. We are getting some clarification on this from the Energy Minister, John Jampo. And my colleague, Stephen Mensah, joins us from the commissioning of a new building for the Public Utilities Regulatory Commission program, where the minister has been speaking. Before we hear from Stephen, let's listen to the minister.
This morning, you realized that we had a bit of some disturbance with power supply. When we had a major incident at Akosombo, after meeting the engineers, we had two options. Either to shut the plant down and build the control center in its entirety, which meant that the plant would have been off for 6 months, or put in this temporal structure or temporal mechanism and restore the power, albeit knowing that it would be a bit fragile. As minister, I had a decision to make, and I decided that we should go by the temporal measure whilst we put in place a permanent solution. And so engineers working around the clock have improvised a system to supply power from Akosombo. And for some months now, it has largely held. But because it's a temporal measure, occasionally when there's some frequency disturbance, it takes off Akosombo immediately to protect the system. And we are aware, and I did explain. But fortunately, the work that is being done to build the center or the control room is expected to be completed just next month.
You heard Energy Minister John Jinapor. Stephen was with the minister and joins me now with details. Stephen, the minister has also been speaking about the work of PRC. What exactly has he been saying?
He says that the regulator has an important role in monitoring the electricity sector and enforcing accountability and ensuring that revenue is collected by the electricity company of Ghana are properly accounted for and distributed. And also, he's been charging government efforts in climate debt in the energy sector. He's been charging the regulator to make consumers feel their presence aside from just issuing tariff adjustments.
We get dedicated funding. Under the recent agenda of His Excellency President John Dramani Mahama, government has taken decisive steps to restore financial viability, stability, and confidence in the sector. We have so far cleared about $1.47 billion in legacy debt alone. And because we moved substantially from liquid fuels to gas-fired thermal plants, in 1 year we saved $500 million from import substitution, moving from liquid fuels to gas. And that is quite significant. But more importantly, and a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to my brother. When they are not happy with me, they don't call me comrade.
You heard Energy Minister John Jinapor ending that report by my colleague Stephen Mensah. There's been some reactions to this development because the Institute of Energy Security threw a statement calling for an investigation into the two national blackouts, and senior research and policy analyst at IES, Derek Hatcher, joins me with more. Derek, why the need for an investigation?
Good afternoon to you, gentlemen. Just a bit of correction. This is Smith. Smith Bohan.
Well noted.
Okay. Good. So, yes, we witnessed on the 29th, I think 3 weeks ago, that there was a bit of disturbance in our transmission system that resulted in blackouts at majority spaces in the country, and as it were this morning too, there is a blackout that Gridco is attributing to a fault in and around the Akosombo water transmission line. If you look at the two scenarios, for example, it conflicts a system failure which needs a critical interrogation. First off, one, if you look at the value chain of power distribution or power generation, you have the generation, the transmission, and the distribution. And this disturbance is as of here at two points in the value chain, which should presuppose that it may be some sort of persistent challenge in the value chain. It could be deferred maintenance, it could be under investment, it could be equipment obsolescence. These are all, characteristics that have plagued the interconnected transmission system, as it were, in this country. And we have IES, for example, has called on, you know, the upgrading of our systems. And you realize that ECG, for example, has spent about 200 million Ghana cedis to help in the upgrade of this maintenance. But if the system operator does not come out with exactly what the challenges has been in the sector in the last, four to 6 weeks or so, it will be difficult for us to also follow along how the development in the grid operation has been.
Thank you very much. Smith Bwahe is a senior research and policy analyst at IES. At least 7 people have sustained various injuries after a police pickup vehicle carrying suspected cannabis smokers crashed into a commercial car on the KNUST campus in Kumasi. The incident occurred at the KNUST traffic lights leading to Ayediase when the commercial bus rammed into the bucket of the police patrol vehicle, which was heading to the KNUST police station. More in this report by Joseph Oping.
According to reports, the police pickup was transporting about 7 suspected cannabis smokers to the police station after they were arrested during an operation. The police vehicle reportedly collided with a truck while crossing the traffic lights. Eyewitnesses say the police vehicle was traveling at a high speed with its siren on when it entered the intersection while the traffic lights had turned green for the truck, resulting in a collision. Several people, including some of the suspected cannabis smokers, police officers, and passengers on the trotro, sustained injuries. The police car was on a top speed, taking the suspects to the police station when the trotro was coming from the Unity Hall Junction and crashed into the police vehicle. All those at the bucket fell on the road and got injured. The injured persons were subsequently rushed to the KNUST Hospital for medical attention. The crash caused significant congestion on the KNUST campus, but other police officers later cleared the vehicles from the road to ease the situation. Joseph Obin's report for Joy News.
Still on roads, Member of Parliament for Bosumtwi constituency, Dr. Yao Oseduchum, has commended the government's commitment to complete installed road projects in the area, describing it as a clear sign of continuity in governance. Speaking to the media, Dr. Oseduchum noted that the resumption of work on the Pragbong to Seria Road will pave the way for the full operationalization of the Seria Regional Hospital. He added that contractors on the Kumasi Lake Bosumtwi Road have also returned to site and are making steady progress.
The Sewa Hospital, commissioned in 2024, is yet to be operational due to outstanding administrative processes. Prior to the commissioning, the previous NPP administration cited poor road access as a key reason for the delay. During our visits, sections of the road, including the frontage of the Sewa Hospital, had already been asphalted as contractors worked to complete the rest. Member of Parliament for Bosumtwi constituency, Dr. Yao Oseduchum, speaks about the project.
The road from Fiyasi to Sewa, especially to the regional hospital, and the one from Sewa Junction all the way to the Sewa Transit, both are under construction. The one from Fiyasi to the hospital has been asphalted, and the other one from the main road, Sewa Junction to Sewa, is also halfway. So great progress is being made, and I'm grateful to the current Minister for Roads and Highways. He promised me that it will be done, and it is being done. I truly appreciate his support.
The Kumasi Lake Bosumtwi Road, which began under the previous administration, also stalled for nearly 2 years after asphalting reached Abidjan Kwanta. Although civil works were done, the lack of asphalt left the road dusty and in poor condition. Meanwhile, Dr. Oseduchum says he expects the road project to unlock the tourism potential of the Lake Bosumtwi area. For Joy News, Nana Ojima, Kumasi.
Time to go for a break, but when we return, we'll take you live to UCC as the first contest between Accra Girls, Asamankese SHS, and Sandima gets underway.
We're going to go there and make it. Nobody is big, nobody is small. Just going to play our game.
You're welcome back. The Republic Bank Joy News Habitat Fair kicks off tomorrow, bringing together opportunities for prospective homeowners to explore properties, financing options, and special deals under one roof. Head of Sales and Marketing here at the Multimedia Group Limited, Max Fuga, tells us more about what visitors can expect at the fair.
Habitat Fair Clinic provides you that congenial atmosphere, that conducive atmosphere, where you can directly engage, appreciate the various options available, and make an informed decision. You can also get financial advice when you visit the Habitat Fair. Fortunately, we have Republic Bank, who are setting up their stands there to offer expert advice on mortgage, on financing everything housing, including home improvement. And so when you walk in there, it's a one-stop shop for everything housing. You also have the opportunity to